shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we're still here, and Keith Olbermann ain't. Well, we'll get into that later on in the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That was probably a shot that I didn't need to take, but we'll talk later because it's an interesting story. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Go over there, get yourself a backstage pass. You can look at our video cast of our show. You can watch our radio show as we perform it every night at philhendryshow.com. And you've got thousands of hours of archived material to listen to and plenty of other things, including our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. We're going to start off this evening discussing, to some extent, the Mega Millions jackpot, which was, I believe, at least, you know, ostensibly it was awarded. I don't know if anybody's going to claim it, but a number was selected. And we'll see if someone has that number. I don't know what the exact number is, Bud. Maybe you can get that for us. We also have Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, because, you know, these tickets are drawn from a variety of retail outlets, and your place is no different, huh, Bob?
No, we've got a lot of people that will come in and play the not only the Mega Millions that you're talking about, but they also love to play the California Lottery. We've got our Pick Six. We've got a number of different games, a chance that people obviously are going to involve themselves in.
You know, when I get my car washed, I was talking to one of the girls at the counter, and I said, geez, I'm out of cash. I said, and I like to tip the guys that are, you know, washing the car. And she said, they love these lottery tickets. She said, why don't you buy a bunch of those?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all, I think, enjoy that.
Do you play these?
I do not, and it's just not anything that I think of. I think probably when you think about the lottery, you think about people who play the lottery. I guess you might think about people that are economically perhaps not as well off or don't have as much money as I do. I'm fortunate in my life that I've been a successful businessman.
But, you know, no matter how much money you have, there's all kinds of rich people who go to Vegas. You know,
but Vegas is Vegas, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And while we all like a game of chance, to look at the lottery as something, anything other than what it really is, and what it really is, I think, for most people, is it is an opportunity to change their lives. I really see it that way. It is not an idle thing.
So when people are buying a lottery ticket, they're looking to do more than just win themselves a hand of poker, obviously.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of money involved, and it depends on the size of the jackpot, obviously. But this Mega Millions jackpot, $650 million. That's a lot of money, and it's, quite frankly, a lot of money to put into the hands of people. I saw that you had linked it, and it's an interesting article. I do recommend it to people. The story there on Radar Online on how...
Yeah, how the lotteries change people.
How the different lotteries have impacted people negatively.
Yeah, I've got it on our website. If you go to philhendryshow.com, you'll see, I think it's on the front page there, and we do link the Radar Online story about different people. By the way, it's pretty busy in your store tonight, huh?
I'm sorry, Phil?
It sounds as if it's busy in the store.
We're running a sale tonight, Phil, and we're open a little bit late. Yeah, we got a lot of people in the store tonight. We're always running a sale, though. It's not a very unusual thing. They have lots of people in the store. It's something that I believe in personally. But we've always got a sale that we're running, and that's why we've got a lot of people in the store here tonight. I've got them nursing a little bit of a cold, too.
So you got to get home at some point. I want to ask you, Bob, we're talking to Bob Green from Fraser Foods. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Have you ever had a big jackpot winner at your store?
Well, nothing to this extent. Nothing. But we've had two people in the 11 years this store has been open. We've had a couple of people win upwards of $6 million each.
Wow. That's California?
That was in the California lottery, yeah. And that is something that, you know, you experience that. And it's a little tough, I could tell you, as a man who... As a man who comes from a lot of hard work, and I do come from a lot of hard work, it is difficult to see certain people win these lotteries. And I was talking to Jim Stewart, who was one of my partners in the business, and I said, we were discussing the lottery. I said, you know, Jim, all the work that you and I put in to make this business the success that it is, and then you see some of these individuals who win the lottery, and, you know, last night they might have been sleeping behind your store, you know.
Well, there is a very definite rags-to-riches aspect to that.
Well, it is, but I'm not sure if it's a positive thing. And what I mean by that is this. When you hand a man who has been using drugs or has been unemployed or is not that ambitious, or maybe is just someone who never really was able to get much of an income in his life and he's been stuck in a certain level, and when you hand him all that money, the kind of money that someone who works as hard as I do, for instance, might earn, or the kind of money, Phil, that you might earn in your business, when you hand a guy who is a, you know, a lot of the people that come into our store to buy these tickets, I would be honest with you, are they're either blue-collar people or they're unemployed. And I will say that some of them are probably dealing with a drug problem of some kind or a homeless situation of some kind. When you hand people like that a lot of money...
Well, there's a difference between a homeless guy and a drug-addled guy and the blue-collar guy that you're talking about.
Absolutely. The blue-collar guy is working, but they're both coming from the same orientation, which is they're not used to money. And the result is, a lot of times, it's pretty much the same thing. They get all of this money, and they suddenly begin to feel very empowered. Now, I can tell you, in the two cases that we've had at our store, when I sold a winning lottery ticket to a man who, I think the one of the $6 million tickets went to a guy who had been literally unemployed for 6 months, and before that, he'd been working a very low, a menial job as a grease monkey at one of these gas stations. And now he wins all this money, and he's coming into my store, and he's walking around in a new suit of clothes, and he's talking to the employees, and he begins to talk to me, and suddenly you notice something. Whereas once before he was someone that I would say, maybe I'd have to tell him to get out of the alley or shoo him away from the front of the store because he was scaring people. Now I have to give him respect. You see what I mean? Now I have to yes sir no sir, because if you understand what I'm saying.
Did this happen?
Yeah, this was actually one of the individuals that won a. This was back in the late 90s. This guy had won a $6 million jackpot.
And he came into the store after winning this.
Yeah, a few weeks after he had, he'd taken the first payment. He had a new car, he had a new suit of clothes, and now he's in there and he's walking around. And I'm running back and forth getting him, I think he wanted to get a case of steaks. So we're running back and forth loading the car. And I caught myself in the reflection in the glass of the store as I was carrying a box of steaks out to this car. And I saw myself and I remembered thinking, like 2 months ago, I was telling this guy to get away from my store because he was scaring people. And now I am, you know, this is what this kind of money will do to a hardworking guy like me when you just give it to somebody.
Yeah, but you're the guy that's carrying the stakes, Bob. You know.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I know what...
Well, in other words, he's in the store.
Yeah.
And he's a customer, and you are willingly...
He's a customer that I'm sure... You're not going to turn down a customer that wants to buy a case of filet mignon, which is what it was. It comes frozen, and you cut it up.
Okay, but you're gladly selling that to him.
I don't have a choice. You're not going to turn that kind of business down. I don't have the choice. So whereas before I was able to come to work and I'd look at this guy and I could feel like I was better than him because I was. And now he wins the lottery and he's telling me what to do. That's all I'm saying. That's the destructiveness of these lotteries and giving people who are blue collar or homeless or people like this all this money, because they tend to start to walk around like they're big shots, and it's guys like me that take it in the net.
Well, I don't see where, and I'm not going to argue with you, but I don't see where you take it in the neck so much as maybe your pride's hurt, you know.
Well, maybe my pride's hurt. I want to say it again, Phil. Here's a guy that I had to tell him, either you leave the front of my store or I'm going to call the cops, and 3 or 4 months later, he can buy and sell me. That is not just my pride being hurt. That is absolutely not fair.
All right, Robert Green is with us. It's an interesting point of view, Bob. Hang on the line here, 877-876-7445. Robert Green has joined us as we talk about these lotteries, the Mega Millions, this particular lottery, $650 million. What's it like for a poor man or a blue-collar man or a man who doesn't have a lot of money to get that kind of money and then begin to lord it over a guy who used to have more money than he did? In the case of Bob Green and other business people who sell these lottery tickets to poor guys, and suddenly the guy's walking in, he can buy that store. Is it fair to the businessman who sold him that ticket? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. And we are with Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park. $650 million worth of Mega Millions money is up for grabs. And boy, does that jackpot get higher and higher each day. They've drawn another number. We'll see if anybody has that. We're talking to Bob about being a retail owner. As you are, Bob, and you own a lot of stores, and you sell a lot of these tickets. But this is more, it's a personal thing for you, right?
Yeah, it is. Personal, Phil. And as I mentioned, I was talking to, you know, a couple of our partners. Jimmy Hardwig is another guy that's been through the wars with me. And when you're selling these lottery tickets to, you know, I don't mean any offense. You know, what a man does for a living is what a man does for a living. But, I make a certain income. Now, when a guy who drives a cab for a living, or I don't know, is a construction laborer, I don't know, I don't mean any offense, but you can't expect me to be happy about the fact that now this guy is worth three, four, five, six times what I am, and now what used to be a guy who would say, you know, where's the case of Bud, and have to pay me in, you know, the crumpled bills he had in his pocket.
Okay, but so what is bad about that?
Well, what's bad about it is what is bad about it is there was a certain amount of pride that I had in being able to say to a guy like that, yes, sir, there's where the beer is, and someday you can be like me if you work really hard. But all of a sudden, this guy in 24 hours has got more money than me, and now I can't say anything to him other than I got to follow him around like I did this one gentleman, because I'm not going to pass up that kind of business. So I've gone from being someone that was an example to him to someone who is waiting on him like a house blank. You know, I don't want to use the word.
No, there's no need to use a word like that. You're bringing it to a level that's a little... I don't think it needs to go to that level.
I don't mean to... I guess...
It sounds like a super personal thing.
No, it's not personal. It's just there are... To just bring it back to that, there are field hands, and then there was the house you-know-what. And when a guy wins a lottery who used to be a cab driver, then he comes into my store and treats me like a house blank, it's really not the way it was supposed to be. That's all.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Trying to see this your way, it's a little hard when you use examples like that. Here's Victoria on the Phil Hendry Show. Victoria, go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just had a quick comment. You know, as far as being able to go ahead and purchase, you know, with your last dollar, you know, a lottery ticket and winning it, you know, it's nothing that is considered as fair or unfair. It is what it is. I understand, you know, he did go ahead and you know, work super hard to, you know, build up a store or, you know, manage a store. And I understand that. We have all worked hard, but you really can't, I guess, not belittle, but, you know, look down upon people that don't have more than you do. Because in reality, everyone is equal. And it just has, it has nothing to do with fairness or not. And I understand a lot of people think it's fair or unfair. I've heard of doctors winning lotteries. And, of course, people are like, hey, you know, that's super unfair. But, I mean, it really has nothing to do with fairness.
The lady made a very good point. Why would it be unfair if a doctor wins one? You know, I'd like to see that. But here is what I'm trying to say, Victoria, and your points are very well made. The idea that I worked as hard as I did to get the money that I've got, and then a guy who was, I don't know, selling his firstborn so he could get a bag of heroin is suddenly now telling me to take the stakes out to his car, you know?
I doubt seriously, Bob, if that's the case. You know, you're taking it to an extreme.
Well, okay, I'm taking it to an extreme, but what if that was the case?
I would say that money might be a good thing for him.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. What is money going to do? How's it going to cure a guy who just sold an infant for a bag of meth? How's that money going to cure him?
Well, I don't know if it... Go ahead, Victoria. You might have a perspective on this since we're talking about kids. No, go ahead.
So, I mean, is that what happened? Is that what's going on? Because I haven't...
Well, the guy that won the lottery, there was a guy that won a $6 billion lottery from a ticket he bought in my store, ma'am, back in 1997. This guy, I would say, I don't know, within a month, I think they give you your first payment, but a month before, this was a guy that I would have to tell to get lost from the front of my store because he was scaring the female customers. And I would tell him, get your ass, excuse my language, get it out of here. Within 60 days, I was hauling boxes of steaks out to the trunk of his Cadillac.
Well, why, you know, you're saying this like it's something that was done to you.
Well, what do you mean? How was it not done to me?
You don't have to have the guy as a customer.
I'm not going to pass up that kind of business. So, of course, I'm going to fill the guy's grocery order. And here I am following a guy around who looks like Superfly because his business is that valuable. And, again, I use the term house, and I don't want to...
Don't use that phrase, Bob. I just don't see how it's applicable, you know?
Oh? That's how I felt. Like I was part of the house staff, one of the house slaves.
A house slave. All right, Victoria, anything else?
No, not really. No, just one last thing is that it is his choice to serve the customer or not.
Right,
so,
that's true.
I mean, that, at the end, it just boils down to, you know,
You led the lady into that opinion.
I didn't lead the lady into that opinion. That was the opinion she had. Thank you, Victoria, for your call. 877-876-7445. Here is Scott. Go ahead, Scott. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Am I talking to Phil here?
This is Phil Henry. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Scott. And who am talking? Who am I talking to on the other end?
My guest is Robert Greene.
Bob Greene, sir.
Robert.
How can I help you? Yes, sir.
Mr. Green. This is Mr.
Yes, sir.
Scott.
Yes,
how you
sir.
Doing this evening? Okay.
I'm fine.
You know, we're burning daylight here, Scott. I've got to go to a commercial break. Tell you what, I want you to hang on for me, and Bob, you hang on for me as well, because we will eventually have to get into a break here.
I have something I want to say.
Well, hold on, and we're going to get into the break, and then I'll give you a chance to talk to the gentleman. Our number is 877-876-7445. I don't know how long it was going to take for us to... And since I don't really have a clock here, Bud, when are we going to get a clock in this place?
There's your duck one.
Yeah, I know, but it hasn't got any second hands on it, okay? So we're talking to Robert Greene about the Mega Millions jackpot. A new number has been selected. It's worth $650 million, if you're ready for that. $650 million. And it's a lot of money. Bob Greene is talking with us about selling tickets to people who don't have that much money, or selling tickets to people who are homeless, or selling tickets to people who have blue-collar jobs. And just what that means to him, as far as he's concerned, it's kind of humiliating. 877-876-PHIL. And by the way, if you are a retail owner, and you sell these lottery tickets, and you have had the experience of selling a ticket to a guy who suddenly has money, does it humiliate you? Do you feel bad that this guy can now buy and sell you? We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I wanted to say that.
I know, but we'll, hold on.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on the line with us Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're talking about a big jackpot, $650 million. They drew the name, they drew the number for that. And boy, oh boy, whoever wins that is going to be into a whole lot of money. How often are these tickets sold, Bob, where maybe it's two or three people, do you know?
I don't know, Phil. That generally is something that is agreed upon by the people involved. We'll sell a ticket to someone. In a lot of ways, for me, it would be better if we sold it to, if one ticket went to three or four or five people, because it cuts down the amount of money. Because, again, I'm very happy to have the people come into the store and buy. If all they're doing is buying lottery tickets, I have to take that into consideration. I have to be aware of the fact that in a month or 2 months, this guy's going to come back into my store telling me to lug a case of steaks out to the trunk of his new Cadillac. And I've got to be ready for that.
And well, what do you have to be ready for?
Excuse me?
What are you trying to be ready for?
Well, it's an assault. It's a brutal assault to the nervous system and to your pride when someone that you told, hey, if you get off of heroin and you stop drinking that wine, one day you could be like me, and now he can buy and sell you. That's a pretty tough thing for a lot of retailers to deal with.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm learning something new every day. Now we'll go back to Scott, who's been hanging on the line. Go ahead, Scott.
Mr. Green, I got to tell you this. This is not a fair world. The entire concept of fairness is an ideology between human beings. And we as human beings are in this world, and we have no control over the entire world. Fairness does not come in to the equation, all right? So if you've been stepped on because, no, you listen to me. Don't interrupt me. It's my turn.
What do you do for a living?
Let this gentleman talk, Bob.
So somebody, you feel like you've been stepped on because somebody won a whole lot of money. Now, instead of them being somebody you want to kick off your front business step, they're a customer in your store, and they could either buy your store, buy you, or sell you out. That just proves my point. This is not a fair world. This is not a fair world, and fairness has nothing to do with it. If I win $200 or $300 million tomorrow, and I show up over at your store, I could tell you to step and fetch, and you don't have a choice unless you want to quit and walk out. And
That's the point. That's the point I'm making, and Mr. Henry is a witness. You see what I'm saying? This guy just told me what he's going to do.
Why would you? Okay, let me ask you this. No offense to Scott. Why would you serve him?
I'm not going to pass up that kind of. That's got nothing to do with it. Why would I pass up that kind of business? So this guy's going to make me do a dance. Now, how fair is that?
Well, like the gentleman said, there is no fairness. But here's fair. If he shows up, Scott shows up with his $300 million, and he tells you to step and fetch, you can say, I don't want to serve you. I don't want your. I don't know if you could. I don't know what would be the legal grounds for that.
But I wouldn't. You'd have to be out of your mind to tell a guy with $300 million to get lost. But the fact that he's going to make me jump around like I'm the house slave, I know you don't want me using the N-word, so I won't use it. is proving my point.
Proving your point of what? Anybody with money is going to go and buy something. They're going to buy a lot of something, as a matter of fact. They may, if you are lucky enough, you will be the recipient of their business.
Yeah, but I... So you're going to have me carrying stuff out to the trunk of your Cadillac? Is that what you're saying, sir?
Yeah.
Do you understand, have you ever been to jail? I don't know if you have or not. I have. I've been in jail once in my life when I was a young man.
You know what happens
when you're young and you get manhandled in a jail cell? That's what you want to do to me in the retail sense.
Come on.
If you were in jail with me, you'd be my buddy.
There you go. Did you hear what he said?
Well, Bobby, you're sort of walking into that, okay?
No, I'm not walking into any. There's no way I turned down a guy with... So, in other words, in order for him to protect me in jail, I'd have to be his girlfriend.
You don't have to be. You know, you can fight back or you can...
No, you don't get it. You don't get the politics of jail.
How is it that we're talking about jail when we're talking a minute ago about the lottery? Thank you very much for your call, Scott. That part I don't get. Let's go over here to Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. This is blowing so out of proportion.
I'm not talking about jail, Phil. I'm talking when he brought that up.
No, you brought up jail as... Excuse me, Jay. Go ahead, man. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. It's just... It's so crazy that it shows the greed. But, you know, this is an opportunity for anybody to win something that would be huge. And I truly believe that... something, you know, divine is going to control who wins that. And if not, you know, but, you know, to not sell meat or something to somebody and he doesn't want you to carry it out to his car, that's ridiculous. I mean, somebody's going to get this.
Well, I don't want to be somebody's butler. Why do I have, you're asking me and Phil's telling me that I've got to stand
I'm gonna probably throw you a couple of $100,000 and say thanks, you know? I mean, that's how our attitude should be. We just got blessed with something that's crazy, and the lottery does do good for some, you know, educational things, I hope.
You're gonna throw me $200,000 like I'm some little kid on the sidewalk. See, that's what I mean. I know you mean well, but turning me into Anthony Hopkins in Remains of the Day. Did you ever see that movie, Phil?
Yeah.
You saw what a pathetic slob he was, right?
Go ahead, Jay.
Remains of the Day.
I know the movie. Yeah, I'm waiting for the gentleman to say something here. I apologize.
In Remains of the Day, Anthony Hopkins was a loser. He was a loser.
Yeah. And he plays a great role.
Right, but that's the character, and that's what happens to me when one of my customers that 6 months before was walking in here with three babies in a stroller and not enough money to buy a bottle of milk, now she's got all this money, and she's got me following her out to her car like I'm some loser in a long-tailed coat.
Well, Phil, you know...
Well, why wouldn't you be happy for that? I don't understand why you wouldn't be happy for that person and why you wouldn't say, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right, sir, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Hugo on the Phil Hendry Show. Hugo, go ahead, sir.
Bob, we all work for money. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry?
We all work for money. Would you agree? Do you hear me?
I think some of us do.
Most of us work for a paycheck. Okay. Whether you're a business owner, whether you're working from 9 to 5, we all work for money. And life.
Well, but some people don't work. What do you say about the people that don't work?
That is besides the point. We're all in this for money. The people that are on welfare, the people that are on, taking advantage of the system, that's besides the point. I'm talking about somebody that works, somebody that, you know, wants to better themselves. We all work for money, okay? Life is not fair. I'm a 21-year-old illegal Mexican that came into this country with no way to go, brought here without me knowing what I was going to do, okay?
You're illegal?
I am an illegal.
You got to be kidding me. I don't have to. Life may be unfair, but I don't have to deal with you. You ought to be in jail.
Okay.
Life's unfair. Maybe life's unfair.
That is exactly why life is unfair. Now, I get up every morning and
No. There's a solution to your there's a solution to you. It's called calling immigration. There's no solution to some guy winning $600 million and telling me to take steaks out to his car. I got to bend over and smile while I get it.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. Just like, I mean, if I go into your store and I walk in with $500,000 and I say, here you go, take this out to my car, please, I mean, what are you going to do then?
Call ICE.
Okay. What do you have against me? They're going to laugh at you. There's 12
You're
million
illegal.
Of us. 12 million
You're illegal.
Of us.
You're illegal.
12 million of us.
I don't know. I'm dealing with you. You're illegal.
I mean, it's like I got all this money and... I mean, just saying.
Well, you may have a lot of... You know what the good news about that is? I'm still going to get your business, and I hand you over to immigration.
Well, see... The thing is,
that's
that's why he's treating you like a little beep, because you are a little beep. And that is exactly why you're...
Well, you know, if you come into my store, if you came into my store with $200 million, and you start getting me to haul steaks out to the trunk of your Cadillac, and then I find out that you're illegal... Oh, man.
Okay, Bob. I mean, this has turned into a class war between you and the people that come into your store.
No. I don't play that. No, you're not going to stick that with me. This is not a
class war. I mean, if I were a different ethnicity, then you'd still be that same way with me, and then I wouldn't even be going into your store. I'd be finding a way to make your life
impossible. You told me you're illegal.
I said you're illegal.
That's all. I'm just telling you that as an illegal, you don't even have the right to that $200 million. And that's the other thing. They should check these people before they buy a ticket.
Oh, yeah, right, to see what their citizenship is?
Yeah, or before they collect it.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
That's exactly the reason why I didn't buy a lottery ticket. It's good. I didn't play the lottery because, like...
I just want to be clear, sir. Are you saying that I'm somebody's house slave because I don't... Because, in other words...
I mean,
if
just
if
the
you
kind of person you are. You got to look in the mirror and examine yourself because... You're being a little hater to somebody that won a substantial amount of money. If somebody had a bigger business than you, you would still be upset. You know, it's not my fault your life sucked. It's not my fault you went to jail. It's not my fault you didn't win the lottery.
Look at it from my point of view. You come into my store, and I know you're illegal, and I give you a break, and I say, that's okay, whatever your name is.
Okay,
you can hang around.
Okay,
and whatever. And then the next day you come in and you've won the lottery, you got $600 billion, and you're telling me to go and get you a case of champagne, get all the filet mignon, and of course I'm going to say yes.
So you're going to humble yourself into this Anthony Hopkins character you were making fun of, but it's this guy's fault.
Yeah, he's illegal, and he's coming in, and he's running me around. He's dropping the soap on the tile, you know what I'm saying?
He's dropping the soap on the tile.
Yes. That's what's happening.
Okay.
All right.
I hope I don't ever go into your business, but...
Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Bob, I'm having a difficult time understanding the rationale here.
There's no rationale, Phil. All I'm telling you is I worked hard for my money. Now there are homeless guys and blue-collar guys and illegals and all of these people who are worth $600 billion... And I've got to stand there and smile and go fetch the extra big bag of Depends, and because they still have all the kids, you know.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. They still have all the kids. Robert Green with us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park as we talk about the Mega Millions jackpot of $650 million. And when you are a retail business and you're like Bob, you're selling the ticket to somebody who might have been homeless, might have been blue collar, might have been poor, and suddenly they've got a lot of money. He says it's a painful assault to their pride. To see some guy that was poor having more money than them. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
So you say this guy came in?
Well, yeah, his name is Fred. Help Frank out, will you? gentleman's name is Frank, Phil. He won this lottery about over 10 years ago. He comes into the store, and now he's coming in. I don't know if he's listening to the broadcast. What do you think, Frank? Yeah, all right. He needs a case of that mum champagne.
A case of mums?
Right. I'll take it up. See, he gets a kick out of it, and this is the point that I'm trying to make. When I say to you, someday you can be like me, you can be successful like me, someday you can actually do something to contribute something to this world, but until that time, you are an eyesore. You are hanging out in front of my store, you look like hell, and you're scaring people. Now get the hell out of here. When I say that to you, and then you turn around and you win $600 million, and you're coming into my store like this guy Frank just did. Yeah, Frank. Telling me to, you know, hop too, like I'm the houseboy. And of course, now, to answer your question, Phil, yeah, of course I've got to hop too like the houseboy, because this guy means a lot of money to this business. So I've got to grin and nod. And then go up to my office at night when business is over and everybody's gone and no one can see me. And there are nights when I break down and cry because I feel as if I've just been passed around a shower. I know you don't...
These jail references are really wrong, man. You know, I mean, you're talking about jail rape, basically. That's what you feel like. You know, you're putting this off on some experience you had and it's just continuing now in your business, your professional life. Somebody comes in and you're crying because you had to show this man deference where at one time you told him to get lost. I think it's got more to do with the fact that you lorded it over somebody and now you don't get to do that anymore and it bothers you.
Of course it bothers me.
Why?
Because I used to be an example of what a man ought to be, and it doesn't make any difference. This guy, who would have sold his firstborn equal weight in crack, you don't get it. You know, you got to be a quality. You have to be a guy like me to get it. And I say this with the greatest of respect, Phil.
Well, I happen to think I'm a quality man.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Phil. I no doubt you are. But have you got my kind of money?
No, I don't.
All right.
So that means I'm not a quality guy.
Have you got my kind of money?
No, I don't.
I rest my case.
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk to Robert Green. Let's go to a phone call. And we got a lot of people hanging on, and we do appreciate you guys hanging with us. Here is Rick. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Green.
Yeah, hi, Bob. A couple words.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard of the word
sir.
Customer service? Okay. You,
that's
you
two
should
words,
be,
but yes, I have.
Yeah, you should be pleasured that these people come into your establishment. And also, the fact that
addict?
you have a choice to sell those lottery tickets or not. You don't have to sell those. Okay?
No, I don't. You're right. I don't.
You have a choice, so don't sell them. If you don't want
why
to...
Why would I... No, I'm not going to... I'm not throwing money away if that's what you're asking me to do. I'm not going to do that.
Well, yeah, but you're also throwing in money away if you're going to be judgmental against those people who come into your store, who buy things from you to make money.
I'm not being judgmental. I don't judge them to their face when they leave and business is over for the day. Then I'm alone with my own demons, yeah.
Alone with your own demons.
Your choice, dude.
How do you figure that's my choice? Is it really your choice? Let me ask you. Here, I'm going to give you a good example. If I said to you, Rick, you just won $650 million, but it's your choice whether you want it or not, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. You're going to say, of course there's no choice there. Well, the same with me. You say it's my choice. No, it isn't my choice. Of course I want to sell that guy $3,000, $4,000 worth of groceries every time he walks in here.
Right.
Well, then
you've
got to
make you money. If you don't want
exactly.
to sell that in that area, move your store and take it to another area there at more money.
But the point is, when I do take his business, I've got to walk around with the bent back like some butler. Okay?
No, you don't. You can have other people do it who work for you. Okay?
Here's the thing. They always want me to do it. They always say, oh, no, I want Bob to do it. And I feel like, forgive me, Phil, you don't like me using these images, but I can't think of anyone. I feel like Uncle Ben, if you've seen the guy on the box of Prima Wheat.
Come on, you're being so judgmental. First of all, do you have any kids of your own?
Yes, I do.
Okay, are they successful like you?
They're not successful like me, no. I don't think I could take that, and I know that that's bad to say.
Well,
you couldn't take it?
You couldn't take it. You raised your kids wrong then, Bob.
How did I raise my kids wrong?
Because they're not like you.
I don't want them to be like me. I don't want them to be like me.
You want them to be successful like you want other people?
Not as much as me. I don't want them to be successful like me.
Well, that's weird. No wonder you're having problems with your customers.
Yeah, I think you have emotional problems that you need to deal with a psychologist. Because if I was in your town and your store, I wouldn't go in your store.
You wouldn't go in my store. Why? Because I sold you a lottery ticket.
You're so judgmental of people.
Are you trying to tell me that you're going to bypass the sale prices, the quality food, the quality service, because you think I'm you're going to say to your wife, let's not shop there. That guy's judgmental.
Yeah.
She's going to think, excuse me for saying this, she's going to think you're some kind of a clown.
Because the last half hour, I've been hearing you on the radio. Okay?
And she's going to think that there's something wrong with you, like you're gay.
No, she isn't. Because she's going to respect me and not respect you. Because you don't like the people who hang out in your store.
You're going to tell your wife, let's not go in that store because the guy in there is judgmental. And she's going to think that they revoked the chest hair on you.
All right, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Green coming back right after this.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, where tonight they're having a little bit of a spring sale at a very, very busy store this evening. It's early yet here in Southern California, where we're doing our show live. It's 11 o'clock at night, but it's 2 o'clock in the a.m., so that would explain to our East Coast listeners why you got a lot of activity there, Bob. And I know you have a successful business. We've been talking about the sale of lottery tickets, the sale of these Mega Millions tickets, the sale of these Super Bowl, Powerball, whatever the hell they're called.
Super Bowl, Phil, is a toy that you and I played with as kids. Powerball.
That's it, Powerball.
Powerball is a multi-state, as is Mega Millions, and it has been known to have a lot of money in it. Now, this one tonight is $650 million. This gentleman that I was telling you about, Frank, is in a store. He's ordering everybody around like he's the king of some small Central European country, and he's got a whole bunch of imbecile nephews. It's unbelievable. And what I'm trying to say to you...
A bunch of imbecile nephews?
Yeah, there was a guy that I was reading about. He was a mad king in Central Europe, Mad Ludwig. You ever read about him?
I think so.
Right.
He built all those crazy castles.
Exactly. When you sell a lottery ticket to a person that was poor or homeless or was a drug addict or was one of these blue-collar, you know, guys who drove a cab or he's a construction worker or something like that, when you sell a lottery ticket to them and they win, what happens is you're dealing with an individual who's not unlike that Central European monarch. They're good people, but they go a little crazy, and you are forced to be a footman for a mad monarch, an individual that wants to buy all kinds of crazy art and wants to buy a stupid...
All right, and when they come into your store, are they buying stupid things?
You put me in an uncomfortable position. I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to say, yes, they're buying stupid things because they're my customers. And I don't want it to get out.
You don't want it to get out that you think they're wasting their money and they're nouveau riche.
Phil, I didn't use the term nouveau riche.
Well, that's what you're saying, though. They're nouveau riche people, which means newly rich, and they are wasting money, and you don't want it to get out that you're looking down your nose at their purchases.
I don't want my customers feeling like I judge them.
But that's exactly what you're doing.
I don't believe that what I'm saying, yes, that's what I'm doing, but I do judge them, and there are days that I hate them. There are days that I hate the business I went into, and I.
That's something nobody can help you with, Bob.
No, I'm not asking for anybody to help, but what I'm saying is, I don't think that giving someone who is the kind of person I was mentioning, these blue-collar types, giving them a $650 million jackpot, I don't personally think it should be legal. I think it needs to be broken up into smaller amounts for people who have a certain lifestyle or income that would indicate that once they won a lot of money, they'd start walking into a store like mine dressed like, you know, I was warned not to use the term, but Superfly.
And well, everything you're saying here is very racially tainted. That's what I'm saying. You know,
in what way?
When you say that you're the house slave, that the guy walked in dressed like Superfly, that they're treating you like Uncle Ben, you know, these are all very, very charged phrases that you have to be careful of. And all they do, Bob, in my opinion, and I think my listeners have agreed, they indicate to me that you have a personality problem.
I've got a personality problem. My political point of view.
It is not a political point of view. I don't see it that way.
Well, it's, you know, that's your opinion.
But I have ample reason to think the way I'm thinking, okay?
That's your opinion. It's not mine.
877-87, you know, I'm not trying to get into an argument here.
No, I understand that, but you've got an opinion. It's wrong.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Talking here to Robert Greene. We'll go to Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
Hey, Phil. It's good to talk to you.
Yes,
Bob,
sir.
Bob, who built your store? What kind of people built your store that you have, this glorious store?
Well, I don't. I guess you want me to say construction workers. Yeah, obviously.
So do any of those guys that sweat and put all their energy into building your store, do they have a right to win the lottery?
I didn't say they didn't. I am saying, though, that the amounts of money they win should be smaller than what I would allow.
They should have big lotteries for rich people like you that think you're high and mighty and above everyone else.
No, what you can do, what you can do, well, sir, you know, you can insult
me.
But,
they should have rich people lotteries and poor people lotteries.
No. No, you take the 650 million.
You
take the 600. No, but I can tell
you,
I'm probably worth more than you. That's why you're angry at me.
I'm not angry at you, and I don't measure worth. I don't measure worth by the size of my bank account. That has nothing to do with being a good man or a decent person.
That's how a poor man would talk. Yeah, that's what poor people say. That's how poor people talk.
That's
financial situation is.
I'll
give you a small example of what kind of person I am. I brought my son to a charity basketball game 2 weeks ago. He was walking into the game. It was at the high school. It was $3 to get in. Another kid was walking up to the door, and he said, "You have to pay to get in here." And my son said, "Don't worry about it, buddy. I got you." He didn't even know the kid, but he gave him the $3 to get in.
Well, that's your son. That's not you. Obviously, I'm talking to you.
Where do you think he got it from?
You'd probably be the guy to tell a kid to get lost. Good thing you got a son like that.
Oh, for crying out loud, Bob.
You,
I mean,
you know what?
That's
what
he said.
Out of my
guy, wait
you
a minute.
I
sir,
would,
you
I,
said, you're talking to me about your son. I'm going to give your son credit. I'm going to give your son credit. I'm not giving
you
credit.
If I win the lottery, I'm going to come down to your store. I'm going to buy all the property around your store, and I'm going to put you out of business because you don't deserve it.
You're going to buy the property. Sir, I'm saying is that I will sell anybody a lottery ticket.
Where did you find this?
But
guy?
I don't think it's worthy.
I didn't think there were human beings alive that act like this. Guy.
I don't. Excuse me, sir, but I've been in business for 23 years in this location,
well,
and I've built a chain of stores.
You know what? That makes
you my hero.
You're an American
that's
hero.
Right.
Everyone
there,
should
there
be more like
that's
Bob.
Right.
If everyone
that's
was
exactly.
more like Bob, this country would be
yes.
such a better place.
Well,
oh
if
my.
Everybody was more like no, if everybody was more like me and your son, you on the other hand, I
no,
think we could
you
probably
don't
do
ever don't more. Ever put your name in the same sentence as my son.
I'm gonna have to.
My
I
son is so much
there.
More of a man. My son is so much more of a man than you ever will be. You don't even
and
want
you.
Your kids to be successful. What kind of father are you? You don't want your kids.
I don't
to be
need
as
my kids. I don't want my kids lording it over me and have. What? All of a sudden, you're telling me
you don't
that I'm
want
supposed
anyone
to be.
Above you. That's what the problem is. It's all about status. It's all about how much money you got in the bank. You don't want
do
anyone
you want
to
your
be
kid,
above you.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you
you're
want your
fool.
Kid telling you
you're
to go
fool.
Load your, the trunk of his Cadillac with steaks? That's what you want, huh?
What are you talking about, Bob?
If my son wants to be a janitor, that's fine with me. If he wants to be the president of the United States, that's fine with me. Whatever he wants to do in life, I'm going to help him get to make his goals, whatever they may be. It doesn't matter.
If your son becomes president, and he says, you know what, Dad, I'm sorry, but I think the IRS needs to audit you, you're going to give him a big, fat smile. Is that it? Yeah, right.
Oh, well, come on.
Are you kidding me? You are a fool.
Are you trying to tell me, Bob, that...
No, I'm asking the guy, but that's a perfectly legitimate question. He's telling me that I'm supposed to be happy when a guy comes into my store that I used his talent to get lost because he was dirtying up the store, and now
no,
I got
to
load
the... No, you're supposed to get lost because you think you're above him. You think you're above everyone. You think there's no one that's...
No one can compete with Bob. I got customers coming in there that want to see me walking out because I'm...
Do you think alcoholics and drug addicts choose to do that? Do you think they choose that's what they want to be in life as an alcoholic or a drug addict? Do you think that's what they get up in the morning and say, this is what I want to do today? No, it's not.
I think a lot of them do because they don't have to work.
Well, you don't know anything about drug addiction, then, or alcoholism.
Okay, look, the two of you guys get together and open up a nice little drug rehab place, and you can hold hands and do whatever you want. I'm talking about working for a living, and when I go to my store...
You know, I can't believe that you are taking the things we're saying here that you would take with this kind of callousness, Bob. And the thing that I notice, you don't take any responsibility. If I say to you, well, okay, you're the guy that decided to take that frozen shrimp out to that guy's trunk, out to the trunk of his Cadillac, you say it's not your fault.
How could it be my fault if I'm not going to turn down a guy wants to get frozen lobster and he's buying it by the dozen? I'm going to say no.
That's the guy that's humiliating you, I thought.
Well, yes, he is. He's humiliating me.
I hope all your customers are listening to this right now. Because
dress me in a white jacket and just call me Uncle Ben, because that's what you guys want.
I would never patronize your store. I would do everything I could to go to your competition and never patronize your store. Because
that's what you say until you see our sale prices. Then you're in here.
I'd pay twice as much not to go in your store. You're a fool.
Now, that's
what
you
say.
The quality of our produce, you'd come in disguise. I've had people tell me they hate my guts, and they put on a disguise to come in here and shop, and I'm not kidding either. And
who?
I can tell you, I can give you names.
Are you telling me there's people that hate your guts and put on a disguise to shop in your store?
Yes. Okay, look, see, never mind.
Now this is turning into a real comedy show.
Well, you know something, sir? I don't know what you do for a living. I haven't run your business down.
You know what I do for a living?
I even praised your son. I praised your son.
You know what I do for a living? Call me names. You're a fool.
That's it. It's very simple. I bet your son would understand. I bet you if I talked to your son, he'd understand.
No, his son is giving money to a poor guy that can't get in. You don't do that.
What do you mean I don't do that? I just sold a guy a lottery ticket.
You're not giving him any money. All right, look at Mike. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on selling these lottery tickets. He is talking about limiting the amount of money that individuals who are poor or homeless or blue-collar can win because he doesn't want to see those same people coming into his store as rich people suddenly ordering him around. Now, that's what I'm hearing him say. If I'm getting it wrong, I'm sure he'll tell me. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So you're saying, essentially, Bob, you want these large jackpots that, for instance, tonight people are very much focused on the Mega Millions, which is $650 million. You want these large jackpots carved up?
What I'd like to see, Phil, is a more responsible dissemination of this money so that you're not giving $650 million to an individual that yesterday was... a guy that's picking bottles up out of a vacant lot or asking for a couple of bucks to sweep a porch, now you've given him $650 million. And that guy is going to turn around and come into my store where I just hired him 2 weeks ago to sweep up.
And he's going to come into your store and what? He's going to spend a lot of money.
He's going to come into my store and spend a lot of money and get his kicks watching me running around, like I said, like Uncle Ben. And
so what all is the only thing in this equation?
And I think it's irresponsible, if I can continue my thought.
Go ahead.
It's irresponsible to give him that kind of money so that guys like him get their kicks, forcing me to revisit a very traumatic experience as a young man, which was that jail experience.
Are you going to go before a...
I'm being very, very clear here.
No, hold on for a minute. Are you going to go before a state or a federal investigative committee of elected representatives and sit down and say to them, gentlemen, I want to rework the configuration and the policy of disseminating the money in lotteries, state lotteries. I want to make this so that it's spread out more evenly because the guys that are poor win and then they make me feel like I'm in jail getting manhandled again.
What did you just say?
Oh, come on, Bob. You know exactly... You said...
I'm telling you that these guys that win these jackpots, all I'm asking for is a more equitable spread of the money so a guy that was drinking Sneaky Pete wine out in front of my place 2 weeks ago, looking like that guy. Did you see that guy? You know the guy I'm talking about. Who's the guy that they had and they made him into a movie star? What's the guy?
What? I don't know the guy. Who are you talking about?
The homeless guy they just put on TV.
The Ted Williams guy?
Yeah, the guy that he did the macaroni. I know because we got the Kraft products here. And, oh, my God, they got this guy's picture. I can't believe it. And people, oh, where's the macaroni and cheese with that homeless guy? And all of a sudden, I'm just another bum.
Because they're paying more attention to him.
That's right.
877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over to Jeremy on the Phil Hendry Show. Jeremy, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil, good morning. This is my first time I've actually stumbled upon your show, and... this guy's spectacular. Bob, can I ask you something? You guys have been doing it for 23 years?
Yes, sir, that is correct. Our chain, which is Fraser Foods, 25 stores throughout the Southwest and the Southeast. So it's not just 20, one store.
25 stores, wow.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So you're a pretty successful guy. Is this your life's work? I mean,
it most certainly is.
And do you take pride in it?
I most certainly do.
You do? Then why do you care?
And the reason why I do is because we have been successful. And
okay,
rather than you interrogating me, I should be asking you questions to see whether you measure up to be like me.
Well, don't get personal with this guy, you know.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Well, you know, I mean, you're sitting there asking me, you're giving me questions like it's the third degree or something.
The guy's asking questions.
You're on the radio show, you dummy. You're the one on the radio show talking about this. So, yeah, I'm going to ask you.
You're calling me a dummy. You're calling me a dummy? Is that what you're calling me?
Yeah, very much so.
I come on your show.
You sound like an ignorant ass. You're an ignorant ass.
All right, so far you've called me a dummy. You called me an ape. Did you call me an ape?
No, he did not call you an ape.
Ignorant ass.
You said ape. I heard the word ape.
I said ignorant ass. Did you hear that?
Well,
did I say it clear?
I heard it. Now that you've changed it, yeah, I heard that. It was ape.
Why do you care? His money's green like everybody else's, right?
That's true, but there's a problem.
Off of it, right?
There's a problem. The problem's this. That guy now walks around like he's my equal or even better than me, and he didn't earn that. All he did was walk in and drop a couple of bucks on a counter along with the wine.
So let it go! If you take pride in your life's work, why should his money bother you? Just let it roll off your back.
If I take pride in my wife's work, what does that mean?
Your life's work.
Oh.
Your life's...
I'm saying to you, with the same dollar bill that he bought that bottle of Ripple wine and that fortified stuff, he dropped on the counter. He got a lottery ticket. That's all the
money. When he had no money, when he had no money, he was at your store. Now he's got a ton of money, and he's at your store buying filet mignons and champagne. Who cares?
That's right.
Who cares?
I'm glad he's at my store, but what I'd like him to do is quit ordering me around like I'm a houseboy.
Just shut up about it. By the way, what's wrong with blue-collar workers? Can I ask you that? Because I'm one. I work my ass off. I work 50-plus hours a week.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's just that
workers don't deserve to have robbery.
Now, hold on. What I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with being a blue-collar worker. But when it comes to divvying up the money, you should get a smaller amount. Yes, yes. You should get a smaller amount so it's easier for you to handle.
Why can't he get the bigger amount?
Because they're not used to handling that kind of money.
How about you mind your own business? How about minding your own business, buddy?
Are you kidding? You know what you're going to do. You're going to turn around and buy a lot of cheap art and a bunch of trailers. I don't know what the...
It's none of your business. The guy just made the point. It's none of your business.
Right, Phil.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's none of my business?
It's none of your business.
When you come into my store and you start ordering all this macaroni and cheese and all this garbage, and I got to stand there smiling like, you know, I'm the chief of staff at the White House kitchen.
I would never go to your store.
It is humiliating. What do you mean you'd never go to my store? Would you take a look at the sale prices that I've got?
Well, you
You keep going back to that. You sound like a mental patient.
Excuse me, sir, but I happen to have one of the most competitively priced products in the field. That's why people come to my store.
It doesn't matter. You belong
anybody
in
that
trade
wants
jacket.
To save money, but you're going to come
you
into my
in
store.
Trade jacket.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and get ready for your millions? Go buy your Superfly outfit, and I'll see if I.
You belong in a straitjacket.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to take a break. 877-876-PHIL.
You let him have the last word on that.
Well, I think you just did.
Well, nothing I can say is going to compete with. He said he called me I belong in a straitjacket.
Yes, he did. And you keep repeating it.
I got no choice. He got the last word.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and the number is 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green is at his store there, which is Fraser Foods in Buena Park. And I will admit, Bob, you've got a busy store tonight.
Phil, we have a busy store all the time, and the reason is because we have, as I say, a service second to none in price, in service. All I'm asking is something that I guess is too much tonight. If you win the lottery at my store, and you come in dressed up like
Well, you talk about dressed up. You do this whole. You mentioned Superfly more than once, which I think is a little on the. I got to say it's racist.
How is that racist?
What is that about, man? Superfly.
I'm saying that people without money, or people that are the blue collar, or this guy got upset with me. I don't know what else to call him. We aren't talking about people with a lot of taste in clothing.
And do you have taste?
Yes, I do. Do I have taste? Yes, I do have taste. I'm used to buying good clothes because I am somebody who's used to spending money. I shop at, I've got a men's store that I go to. My clothing is tailored for me. I buy, most of the time, the suits that I order are custom made. Now, this is something you could never explain to some guy who was coming into your store 3 weeks ago and buying fortified wine. And
by the way, do you sell fortified wine?
Yes, I do.
And why?
Well, what do you mean, why?
Why do you sell fortified wine in your store?
I'll tell you. You want to know the answer?
Yes.
Because these winos like it.
That's right. That's right, Bob. So what you do is you cater to an already devastating disease.
Oh, come on, Phil.
No, you cater to an already devastating disease, a disease that these men have and these women have, and you sell them that fortified stuff so they get hammered quicker on less money.
Have you ever heard of supply and demand?
You know what I'm talking about.
Have you ever heard of supply and demand, Mr. Hendry?
And I suppose if rat poison was in high demand, You'd be selling that stuff, huh?
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry, as long as you're judging me. There was a Twilight Zone not too long ago, maybe you remember it, where the family's gathered around, and they're waiting to inherit their money. And the man who's about to die tells them all to put on masks. And you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, their faces stayed that way and if they were going to inherit the money.
Right. Even if I knew that my face was going to stay the way that mask looked, let's say it was a big frown, a real ugly face, I'd put it on if that's what I got to do, because that's what I do to make a dollar for my family.
And make a dollar for your family? You're talking about inheriting money from some old man who believes you to be such an avaricious, scum-sucking dog that he makes you put on a mask so your face twists into this look. And
Whoa. Are you talking to me?
That's what that show was about.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that I would put on a mask and make myself look ugly to make a decent dollar for my family.
What? That's not what the show was about.
Yes, it was.
Let me get to some phone calls here.
Well, Phil, you keep saying let me get to some phone calls. Every time I get you into a position, where I am able to make a good point, I was put into a position years ago. Well, you don't want to hear about it, but it was in a jail cell.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to another phone call here. On the line, we have Dan. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Green.
You guys are so lucky. I'm the guy with all the answers here. Now listen, Bob, relax, sit back. I'm in Illinois, it's 1:30 in the morning.
Every time a guy starts off a phone conversation with me sounding like this guy, I usually hang up on him. But to be nice to you, Phil, I'll keep listening.
No, don't hang up.
Whatever.
I started my business when I barely got out of high school. I started cleaning office buildings and toilets and everything like that. Right now I'm a multi-millionaire.
Buildings and toilets. You build
and
buildings and toilets?
I cleaned all
clean buildings and toilets.
Cleaning service.
All right. Okay.
And then in 1980, I started buying buildings, and I really liked rehabbing them. Right now, I'm a multimillionaire. I own
you're drunk.
Office
are
buildings
drunk?
And stuff like that. But, Bob,
are
what
you,
you're doing
are you
to
drunk?
Yourself here?
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not drunk.
Well, why did you say you're a multimillionaire like that?
Don't
I'm
worry
a multimillionaire.
About it, Bob. Listen to the man.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say, Bob, is what you're missing. The point is, Bob, you're successful because you worked hard, and you're disregarding the fact that you worked so hard in your life, and you're worrying about other people and their, where they're at. I worked for 18 months on crutches because I had to have a hip replaced and a knee replaced in 2010.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, people don't understand. A lot of people ask me, how'd you get where you're at? And I tell them, look, I worked pretty much 28 years, 14 hours a day.
Let me ask you a question. What if a kid that worked for you knocked on your office door tomorrow and said, how you doing, Charlie, whatever your name is. Excuse me, I forgot your name.
His name is Dan.
Dan. He said, hi, Dan, you remember me? And you go, yeah, I remember you. Well, guess what? I want to buy your company.
Hey.
And,
Tell me a price, pal. I don't care.
I only have a certain amount of money.
Here's the point, Bob.
I've only got a certain amount of money, Dan. But I'm hoping that you'll talk turkey with me because I really, really want to buy your business, but I'm only willing to go to a certain limit financially.
Well, what are you talking about?
What if this guy tries to muscle you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What if he tries to muscle you?
That's not what you were talking about.
What about Phil? I'm talking to this gentleman. What if the kid tries to muscle you?
The bottom point is, Bob, you have to respect what you've done in your life, not where other people are at. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter to you where other people are.
You won't answer my question.
$1 million.
What if that kid made you bark like a dog?
What?
No one makes me bark like a dog. I don't care if I've only got 2 cents.
But what I'm saying to you is, if this kid came around and used to work for you and he had enough money and he said, go ahead, bark for it. And he used to work for you.
Bob, if that guy said to you, carry this stuff out to, I want Bob to carry this stuff out to my car, I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Only my employees do that. But they'll take care of you. And please come back again.
No, he would say, no, I want Bob.
That's too bad. Bob can't do
and
it.
Kid.
You'll have to take your business elsewhere. What do you care,
no
Bob?
Way. No, that's not, because that's a lot of money that I've just told to kiss off. I've just told a whole lot of money to go take a walk. That's why I'm saying to you, wouldn't you bark like a dog for money?
Oh, God. I mean, you're asking basically...
No, you're missing the point. Here's the cool part.
You wouldn't bark like a dog?
Let me in with this.
If you're talking about being successful in business, part of it is barking like a dog.
All right, okay, listen, I got to take a break. All right, I got to move on to another call or something. Thank you very much, Dan, for your call, because you're right, I think that guy was drunk. Here is Antonio. Go ahead, Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, thank you for my language. But, you know, this Bob guy, I don't know.
You bark like a dog for...
Would you let this man talk, not talk, Bob? Sorry, Antonio, go ahead.
Yeah, this guy, you know, I'm glad I've never been in his store. I don't know. He's got an attitude that is better than everybody else, you know, and he's not. He's not better than me. He's not better than you. He's not better than nobody. You know, but with an attitude like that, you'll lose your business. That's what I'm telling you. You know what? Bob, shut up, all right? No,
I got to run around on my hands and knees and bark like a dog for a guy.
Who's telling you to bark like a dog?
I didn't ask you to bark like a dog. I asked you to serve me if I made some money. But you know what? You're against people that have an opportunity. This is the United States of America, hopefully, Bill. And you want to be prejudiced about it, you know? And, you know, it's a bunch of BS. You know, you should be thankful for
the United States of America means we don't give it away around here. In the United States of America,
I didn't say we give it away. I'm paying you money.
Through it, you got that lottery ticket with the same $20 bill you bought the fortified wine.
Let's get off the lottery ticket. Already got found out in Washington. Isn't that interesting? You know what? It's in Washington. It's up in D.C. Isn't that interesting? You know what? No lottery tickets coming into your store, maybe. Maybe
it
will.
Oh, I see. It's a conspiracy, is that it? What do you mean, isn't that interesting?
I don't know. But they, you know, it's a conspiracy? No. I just think that you're a prejudiced son of a gun, because I can't use dirty
language. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Didn't you just tell me you got a... You ain't even a citizen, and you're telling me all about me?
What do you mean I'm
you
not
just
a
bought
citizen?
Your,
I have a green card. You said you, I'm second
that ain't a citizen. That's not a citizen. That's a green card.
Okay, so what are we saying here? The guy doesn't have a right to his opinion?
Well, he's telling me where to get off. He's telling me all about what I ought to do. Meanwhile, he wants
you're
me to
just,
bark like a dog, and all he's
so
got
high,
is a green
you're
card.
You're so high on your horse, and you're going to be taken down, dude.
You haven't... Nobody's told you to bark like a dog, Bob.
Yeah, but what if this guy wanted me to bark like a dog? All he's got is a green card.
So
I didn't
what,
ask you
man?
To...
He's not asking you to bark like a dog.
I'm just saying, what if?
But I'm not.
Boy, I'll tell you.
I just want you to treat me like a fair customer. That's all
I'm
asking.
Okay, I'll treat you fair. But let me ask you this: Do you think a guy with a green card ought to force me to wear a white jacket like a houseboy? No. Do you think a guy with a green...
Okay, Bob, what's happening now is you just don't like the idea that some dude comes into a lot of money through a lottery and the fact that he may have more money than you and tell you to go get the frozen lobster and the champagne and stick it in the trunk of his Cadillac. You just don't like that because of your pride. Because of your...
No, I got a girlfriend that I've been going out with for 2 months who's a really, really beautiful girl.
Really
okay, she's
a
dancer.
Guy.
She's a dancer. Hold on, she's a dancer. Guess what? She comes into my store the other day. Here comes this guy, Frank, telling me to go get the lobster and the shrimp. And now she says, how come I'm hopping to it for this guy dressed like Superfly? And I had to tell her.
Why do you keep going to the Superfly thing, you know?
That's what I had to do. And it was humiliating.
Well, then you better get yourself another girlfriend, man. That's what it sounds like to me.
Absolutely.
I got to take a break. Antonio, thank you, sir, and I appreciate you calling the show. And I don't care if he has a green card or not. He's entitled to his opinion. Bob. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our News and Information Hour coming up next hour.
Truth
stick around.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
At philhendryshow.com.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Wait a minute. I think we've got Ted's of Beverly Hills, don't we? Yes, we do. We got to turn that music off there, Bud, or I'm going to really flip out. Turn that off, Bud.
That's Jimi Hendrix.
Turn it off, Bud. Are you nuts or something?
What?
Get that music out of here, man. I'm trying to get rid of that so I can get Mr. Bell up on the line. Do you understand?
Got Ted Bell on. I thought you wanted to hear the music.
I don't want to hear that garbage. That's not garbage. It's Jimi Hendrix, but understand, you know.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Am I still up? I still...
Hey, Ted, that's the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle.
Wait. Am I still on your show?
Yes, you are.
What? This is Robert Green.
No, hold on.
Mr. Green, this is Ted Bell, and I have a restaurant.
I know you got a... I don't approve of... Let me just say something, if I could. I was blindsided by this.
Well, sir, I'm sorry. I requested from Mr. Henry that he give me a little bit of airtime because I wanted to weigh in on what you gentlemen were talking about. Because I do think I had some perspective.
That's fine. You may have perspective, and I'm sure you do. But I was booked as the guest.
All right. I understand that, Bob, and I'm not trying to preempt you. But Ted called in.
Ted called in. So when Ted calls in, what's with that music?
Excuse me? That's my jingle.
That's your jingle. Is that what you call it?
That's his commercial jingle, yeah.
Well, that's great, but I... What's that got to do with the Bob Green Frazier Food? Why don't you have Bob Green Frazier Foods? What?
No, sir, I would request that you just give me a couple of minutes here.
No, I'm asking the host of the show.
Do you have a jingle?
No, I don't have a jingle. And I certainly don't have a jingle. It says I want to put... That commercial says we want to put our meat in your mouth. I don't approve of it.
Hold on. If I could, Phil.
All right, but we're burning daylight.
Yeah, I know. That's something you like to say.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
You notice that?
Okay, but we are wasting time.
I'm trying to tell a gentleman here. That's an advertising slogan, sir, that means exactly what it says. We want our steak is delicious. And
yeah, I'm sure it is, sir, but we want to put our meat, blah, blah. I don't approve of it. And I know there are a great many parents that agree with me.
Well, excuse me. I don't serve the church group, okay? This is not a church social that I'm running out here. I got a steakhouse. I've got a bar. I got some very heavy people that come into my bar.
Oh, well, okay.
What's that mean?
Nothing. Just got a lot of heavy people that come out. I bet you got a lot of heavy people. I bet you a lot of heavy people walk out of that place, too. I bet you a lot of heavy people walk in that place, as in big, fat asses. But that's not what I'm talking about.
Who is this guy? Is he a sponsor of yours, Phil?
Mr. Bob Green's on the show here to talk about the lottery.
The lottery? What is that? I sell lottery tickets at my stores.
But you sell lottery? I thought you were running some kind of a high class... All right, I want to get out of here, Phil. I can't... Go ahead. Thank you.
What, if this guy needs the music when he's leaving, too?
I guess.
Yes, I do.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Okay, I'm leaving now. I'm Ted Bell. Goodbye.
I'm Bob Green, and this guy's an ass.
Okay, hold on. Kill the music. Kill the music. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
The hell you didn't.
All right, are you leaving, Ted?
Well, I want to get a couple of things straight. I called in here to say to this guy that he should not be so upset about having to haul steaks out of the trunk of a car because that's my business, the steak business. And if I came into his store and I bought, I don't know, thousands of dollars worth of steaks, I would certainly make it worth his while.
What is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean? If you were required by me to carry steaks out to my car...
Okay. Oh, if I was required by you.
Well, that's what you've been talking about. Haven't you been talking about that?
I've been talking about customers of mine that have come into Big Money. Yes, sir.
If I came to your store and I said, I want these steaks taken out to my car, Bob, but I'll make it worth your while, what are you getting upset about?
And I don't know what you mean by make it worth my while.
I'm saying if I'm showing you a 20.
You're going to tip me?
Well...
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That I have a store that I built my entire life.
What's he crying for?
Hold on. And this guy's showing me a $20 bill like he's doing me a favor, like I'm some kid who's got an apron on.
Well, I don't. Maybe I missed something. Yeah, you better believe you missed something. I own the store. You're showing me a Jackson. Why? Showing you an Andrew Jackson. Well, okay, if you own the store.
He owns the store, so tipping him $20 it's a bit of an insult.
Well, okay. Then I don't know what else to tell you. I thought I was doing it. Go ahead, bud. Yeah, thank you. All right. I'm out. There's my jingle. I'm out. What an ass. You know what, man? I have my own jingle. You don't.
Come on down.
All right, everybody. Hi, I'm Ted Bell. Come on down. It's going to be a great weekend. Great basketball weekend. Great golf weekend. The prime rib room is open. We're serving them cold at Ted's Beverly Hills. What a jackball.
Here at
Ted's. Whoa. Kill the music.
Well, we killed everything now. I don't... what happened, bud?
I think we lost the line at a restaurant. We lost the line there to Fraser Food. We lost the line there. All of it. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you that in the meantime... Oh, there it is back there.
Do the same thing. I don't want him in here. I don't want to see... Do you ever see this guy green?
Are you, Ted, that's you. Is Bob there? Bob?
I'm right here, Bill. What happened? I wanted to talk to this guy about saying jackball. Didn't? Is that what he called me?
Well, you better get him back on, bud.
Yeah, I got him, Mr. Green.
Oh, let me talk to this guy, Green.
Hold on for a minute. Have you got him?
Yeah, Mr. Green. Yeah, we disconnected you. They want to come back on a show. The what? Okay.
What's he saying?
Hold on. Okay. 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 I'll tell him.
Where's this guy?
Hold on. What?
He said he doesn't want to come on because you made him look like a fairy. And Mr. Green man looked like 200 yards of fairy. I'm just writing all this down.
Yeah, let me see. You made him look like 200 yards of fairy, look like a fairy. You made him look like a fairy and sound like a fairy. So the operative word here is fairy. Is that it?
What's the guy's problem?
He won't come back on his show, okay?
All right, well... I was going to say to the guy, I don't know what he wanted to say, but I don't like him calling me a jackball. I didn't come on here to insult that guy. I was trying to give this guy the lay of the land on what it's about, especially because of nice, delicious steaks. And the fact he's making money just because he's got to step and fetch it after some guy's car dressed like Superfly, so what?
Well, it's a point of pride for the guy. And I got to tell you something, Ted. In my dealings with you over the years, I've heard you have the same kinds of issues.
Well, I don't have the same issue to the point where I'm crying on the air. I just heard that guy bawl like a baby. And what's this stuff about fairy?
He said that Phil made him look like a fairy.
Right, I got it. All right, Ted, thanks very much.
All right, I got to get back. We got a full house tonight. Look at the...
Yeah, great.
Talk about a lady.
Hold on. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour right after this.
Look at that.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch and going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Welcome back to our show. And it's our News and Information Hour. We got Bud and Robert here. Didn't mean to yell at you, Bud, about the iTunes thing.
Yeah, you're always yelling me about iTunes. You're a guy, forget to do it.
Yeah, but you ought to think of do it.
Well, that's my point. Robert's making the good point. You're my technical guy. You should be thinking. Even if I forget to turn iTunes off, you should turn it off for me so that we were bringing on Mr. Bell instead of hearing 1983, A Merman I Shall Be, which, of course, is my favorite Jimmy song. I want to hear his jingle, you know.
What do you mean your favorite Jimmy song? Who's Jimmy?
Hendrix.
You know, Jimmy Hendrix, I've been listening to stuff.
Oh.
Oh. All right, so anyway, welcome to the program here, and thanks to Ted Bell for coming in and really fouling up Bob Green's mood. So, Bob, I guess you're going to have to go back to that girlfriend of yours, that hot dancer, and you're going to have to, next time you give her a tour of the grocery store that you own, you're going to have to hope that Frank doesn't come in ordering you to carry another case of frozen shrimp out to the trunk of his Cadillac. Oh, God.
Man, that guy got problems.
You better believe he does.
Bob Green is, we've known Bob for many years. We've had him on a show. But he's a guy with a real personality problem. He's it's a psychological problem having to do with class. Like, I don't know what it is, you know.
Yeah, he's not talking about women won't go out with him, even though he got money.
Well, that's the other thing. There's a guy that's loaded. I mean, he's loaded, too. And he can't get any women. He can't get quality women. And I'm not saying that that's what gets a quality woman interested. But wouldn't you think that if you were a man of means, that there would be far more women, I suppose, that would be of interest to you and vice versa? He can't get a woman to go out with him. Now he's got this dancer, and he's all upset that she's going to turn out to be a dud, because when he brings her to the store, he may have to be carting a box of frozen lobster out to the trunk of some guy's car. It's going to look bad.
Yo, you should laugh at him, man. Above all, that would feel bad.
Why don't you get closer to the microphone, Robert? I can't hear you.
I said you shouldn't laugh at him. He's going to feel bad.
Well, it's his own problem. Will you pick up my glasses, please?
I didn't do it. He did.
That's why I'm asking, Robert. Thank you very much. You knocked my glasses off.
Sorry.
All right, anyway, welcome back to the show here. Our number 877-876-7445. It's our News and Information Hour. I had just seen a story which... it's kind of an interesting story from the standpoint of just cultural and... it's a story about Canada. Canada is losing its penny. This is a story in the Bloomberg Business Week. America is not losing its penny. In fact, in this article, the title of the article is Why the U.S. Penny Won't Die Like Canada's Just Did.
They got a penny.
Canada has a penny. Canada has a quarter. Canada has a dollar. Canada has a $5. That's what that money was that you thought was from Mexico.
You got that money you found up there?
Yeah, man. You thought that was Mexico money.
Yeah, that's from Mexico.
No, it ain't. It's not from Mexico. If it's from Mexico, why does it say Bank of Canada?
Because that's where I thought the Mexicans put their money.
Oh, man, you got to be putting me on.
Are you crazy, man? They put their money in Mexico.
You're trying to tell me you thought that was Mexican money? They just happened to bank it in Canada? Who do you think that is right there?
The Queen of Mexico?
That's Queen Elizabeth, you idiot. Because that's where I thought they put their... Anyway, poor little guy, starting in the fall, Canada's government will stop producing the lowly Canadian penny. The fact that pennies are expensive to make and are virtually worthless in today's economy led them to fall victim to Ottawa's budget cuts. The government says the measure will save around $11 million a year because each new penny costs 1.6 Canadian cents to produce. A penny costs 1.6 cents to produce. One Canadian dollar is essentially equal to $1 in the United States. It was interesting when I went and visited last year, I was in Canada last year, and I found that the rate of exchange for the first time in traveling to Canada did not favor us here in the States. Not that I'm looking to, you know, lord it over Canada, but, you know, these days, man, every time you take a dollar someplace and exchange it, you really aren't getting anything. You're losing money, you know, and...
What was in Canada?
Well, it wasn't much. It was like $1.07. It cost me $1.07 to buy a Canadian dollar.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and I'm not about to explain it either, okay? It costs you a certain amount of money to buy. If you go to another country, and I know you're not going to understand this, bud.
Well, give me a shot. Let me just see if I can.
Okay. I want to buy 10 Canadian dollars.
Why don't you just give the American dollar?
You do. You give the American dollar. You say, hi, here are my American dollars. How much can I buy with these American dollars?
What are they?
10 American dollars. But that's not going to buy 10 Canadian dollars. That's going to buy 9 Canadian dollars and a few cents. Because my dollars don't buy as much in Canada as they would buy here, for instance. And they sure as hell don't buy as much in Britain or in France. That's just the way the world is going these days. Euros are particularly attractive. The euro has become quite competitive with the dollar. Anyway... So one Canadian dollar is essentially equal to one U.S. dollar. And a Canadian penny buys you only about 1/20th of what it could when it was introduced in 1858, the Canadian penny was. A penny that could hypothetically buy a whole loaf of bread then would only buy a few bites of bread today. That seems like a lot, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, one penny?
Yeah, one penny buys you a few bites of bread? That's pretty good. Canadian consumers will be able to use the 1 cent coins indefinitely, but the government is encouraging businesses to start rounding to the nearest nickel. Lest people forget their arithmetic lessons, the government has put out a fact sheet on proper rounding techniques. The Canadian move, which cites costs and inflation, follows the long-held logic trumpeted by many economists to get rid of one-cent pieces in the United States. Economist Stephen Dubner alone has nearly 20 entries on his Freakonomics blog begging for a U.S. penny death. Can we please be next, he wrote this morning after learning of Canada's move. Well, a 2008 New Yorker article lays out the counterarguments that have prevented the penny's seemingly inevitable extinction. There are objections to rounding, which one economist estimate would cost the United States consumer as much as $1.5 billion over 5 years. Objections to rounding to the nickel, that is, getting rid of the U.S. penny. So while it makes sense in Canada, it's not making sense, at least in terms of the numbers here in the States. The Canadians are going to save $11 million, but it could cost us $1.5 billion. Also, cutting out the penny may just put more reliance on the nickel.
What's that?
Nickel.
Don't you know, man, that's how you say it in France. That's frog talk?
Sure, whatever. Anyway, in the U.S., the United States loses 1.4 cents on each penny it makes and 6.2 cents on each nickel, according to Coin Update, an industry news source. Plus, plenty of Americans like pennies and their Honest Abe heritage. There you go, see?
That's all about being American and everything.
Well, that's the other point of the discussion. I was talking to Dan about it. Americans like that Abe Lincoln look, see? Those enthusiasts, along with industry lobbies, have rallied to support the coins when there's been a movement to kill them. You know, American patriotism is very unique. Now, like I told you, when I was up there last summer, I was up talking to my cousins, and I was having lunch with them. And at some point in the discussion, we were talking about a lot of different things. At that time, the Casey Anthony trial was happening. They were following it in Toronto very closely. But my cousin Elaine said to me, you know, we just don't have the same rah-rah like, as they say, like you Yanks do. And I said, well, and now Canada Day was coming up, and I left Toronto on Canada Day. It was a hell of a day, man. People were partying. They had barbecues going all over the country. They got what happens in Canada is they start their football season early, so they kick off their football season in July. And the other thing is they got fireworks, and they got an amusement park outside of Toronto was getting jammed up. So, you know, they're patriotic to that extent, but they don't have the same kind of rah-rah that we got. Like, stuff like, wow, Abe Lincoln's on a penny that we get jazzed about.
They don't care about it?
Well, they ain't going to care about Abe Lincoln.
Why don't they care about Abe Lincoln?
Because he's an American president. Why would they care about him?
Oh.
Yeah.
What about ain't they got a queen they care about?
They got the Queen Elizabeth. They don't have that into the queen, man. You know, that's just a... You know,
they always got the queen on the money, though.
Yeah, but that used to be, but they don't do that anymore, see? Canada's got that whole thing with England, but England doesn't tell them what to do. They just have a cultural tie with them. But in any event, they were saying, yeah, we're not into that stuff the way you guys are. And I was talking to them, and I saw an article in the paper. Here's a problem they're having in Canada. Everybody is, not everybody, but the young people are leaving the country for a period of time. They leave, as soon as they leave, get out of college or even high school, they leave Canada and they go to Australia, they go to Korea, they go to here, they go to there, they go all over the world. They got a whole bunch of people that split. And then they eventually come back maybe toward their 30s. But in the meantime, all of this brain power and all of this youth power leaves the country for...
Yeah, but I mean, where do you think that people going to go, man? I'm going to hang out up there. I'm 22 years old, freeze my ass off. Yeah, I'm really going to stay in that icebox.
Well, you know, you're making a point. You're making a point. Why would anybody want to stay in that icebox? See, Canada is a great country, but they're really, if you think about it, and I say this with all due respect, there ain't a whole lot happening. I'm not trying to run them down, but what are you going to do? You know, what's for kicks? You know, I mean, for instance... When I went to Toronto, and it's a fine, fine city. It's a beautiful city. But to me, as much as I hear this stuff about Toronto being very cosmopolitan, to me it was just it was a very big Minneapolis. It didn't, like, strike me as anything all that boogie-woogie, you know?
What about Montreal? I hear that's pretty cool.
Well, I wasn't there, but...
Maybe if you went there, man, you'd have a different opinion.
Okay, I'll go to Montreal next time, and I'll report back.
Yeah.
All right, We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. Why don't you guys get out and do something, okay?
I would if you paid me more.
Yeah, We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show here with more news and views. Our news and information now. The big news that we're going to talk about, Keith Olbermann got his ass fired from Current TV. Nice going, Keith. You'd think you'd learn by now, man. We'll talk about that when we come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil, and let's go to a phone call here. With this gentleman was hanging on through the last part of last hour, and I promised that I would get him on the air, and I was not able to do it. And it's Lloyd. Go ahead, Lloyd. I've got you on. If you want to make a comment.
Yes, you were talking about cities, and I said the young man that you said you're not interested in Chicago. Did you say that?
I said that Chicago. I said of the cities that I would visit, that I think are more fascinating than Los Angeles. And this is a, you know, I don't want to get into it. I'm not trying to put anybody's city down. Okay.
Well, now hold on. I come from the Midwest myself, from Chicago. I live in Southern California.
Okay. But I'm just saying, the cities to me that are more fascinating than L.A. are London, New York, and maybe to a point, not as more fascinating, but I like San Francisco and Miami. But it's very, you know.
You're talking about just cities in the in London, is not in the United States. But I didn't think I heard you right when you said that you think Miami is more interesting than Chicago. And that's why I called my wife.
Well, I don't know. Chicago, for me, is not anything that I ain't seen any. This is a bad thing to say. I don't want to say it. Because I know Chicago. We're on in Chicago. And Chicago people are really proud of their city, and as well they should be. And I'm getting into a very, very bad area.
Well, you said something right there. Because I come from Chicago. And I'll tell you that we love our city very much. And when I heard you say that Miami, and I don't mean to run Miami down at all, but I think that there comes a time in the life of every man when he hears something. And I, you know, spent a lot of years growing up in Chicago, and Miami, which was really nothing more than a large screen, if you will. It was like a filter in a filthy pool catching all the Caribbean.
And all right, okay. So Miami is lousy because it's got too many Caribbean people.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Well, they're like a pool filter or something, is what you said. I don't want to do that. All right.
Well, I think that what you should say is that Chicago is as fascinating a city as any city in the world.
All right, sir. Chicago is as fascinating a city as any city in the world.
You're lying. And I know you're lying because what do you want to do? My wife wants me to put the phone down now. But I think you're lying. My wife wants me to put the phone down because of my hypertension. So,
Well, you keep calling me a liar, sir. Obviously, you are. You're worked up a little bit, okay? And all I'm saying to you is.
Yes, I am worked up because when I heard what you said.
You got worked up, and I didn't mean to put down the city of Chicago. It's a great city. God knows it's a great city. You don't need Phil Hendry's approval. It's a world-renowned, great city. And by the way, I read that book called The Devil in the White City, you know.
Yeah, you told me, but that's about a guy that butchered women up. You can't even read it. All right, my wife wants me to put the phone down.
What happened to him?
His wife was there. He's got a stroke problem. Guy got blood pressure.
Well, he sounded like he was about to stroke out right there, didn't he?
Yeah, he got blood pressure.
Look, I told that guy about that book that I read, The Devil in the White City. That's a great book.
Yeah, but you're a dick. That's not a really respectful book about Chicago, because it's about a guy that butchered ladies up.
No, it ain't about. It's about two things that were going on in Chicago at the same time. It's a great book. Everybody should read it.
Even me?
Yeah, especially you. The Devil in the White City is a phenomenal book. It is a true story, and those are the only books that I read, okay? You can take John Grisham and you can stick him up with the rest of the Grishams, man. I could care less.
You tell me you don't read Harry Potter.
I don't read Harry Potter. I ain't putting it down. I don't have time for... Look, man, in my life, the way that I have seen things, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't have time for a bunch of made-up jazz, man. There's too much real stuff going on. There's reality happening out here, you know? Reality?
Yeah, but... That whole thing with Devil in White City by a guy cut a lady up.
Will you knock it off with that and let me tell people? The Devil in the White City, you got to read this book because it's about Chicago in 1893.
Oh, super.
Hold on for a minute. It's a true story, man. Right as Chicago was trying to build a World's Fair. Now, think about this. Think about this. Right as the city of Chicago was trying to put together a World's Fair, two things happened. A recession hit. The panic of 1893. People were flat on their ass out of work. There was no money. The money dried up. And here are these guys in the city of Chicago who just won the bid for the 1893 World's Fair, and the money's drying up, and there's no capital. And the one thing they do have, they've got workers, obviously. That's one thing that's happening. Actually, three things happen. One of the worst winters in the history of the city hit. Now, keep in mind that they have to open the World's Fair in June or July, I think it is, 1893. And in that winter, before opening that World's Fair, they have the worst, one of the worst winters Chicago's ever had. So now you got a recession. You got a winter that construction contractors and workers and just tradesmen, all these guys have got to muscle their way through snow and crap and sleet and mud. They're trying to get gardens planted. They're trying to build amusements. It's a nightmare. They've got winds that are blowing. In one instance, a wind picked up and knocked a hole in the roof of one of the exhibitions. And then the third thing the city of Chicago had at that time was a serial murderer afoot. There was a guy killing women, young women, single women. And as it happened in the 1890s, in the late part of the 19th century, women were doing something for the first time that they'd never done before. They were traveling alone. They were traveling on their own. They were going into the cities. They were looking for work on their own. They were getting jobs. Women, for the first time, were leaving the house as young women, not as married women, not as, grandmas. These were young 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old women, college-educated women, who were leaving and going into the city on their own and looking for jobs. And as you might imagine, there were rather unscrupulous advertisements for wanted a young lady to work in my office. So you really had to have your wits about you. And this serial murderer, this Dr. Mudd, I think was his last. I got to find out this guy's name, Robert.
No, you might not find his name.
This guy took advantage. He wound up killing women in a specially constructed house that he had gas that fed into the rooms. He knocked these women. That was insane, man, what was happening. So they have this guy. They got this. And it's about how the city of Chicago dealt with all of it. And as it turned out, not only did they catch this serial killer, they also put on one of the most successful World's Fairs in history. It was a World's Fair that gave us the Ferris wheel as an answer to the Eiffel Tower. It was an amazing, amazing year for the city of Chicago and with so much that they had to deal with. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back right after this. PhilHenryShow.com, our news and information.
Turning!
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
What is that, bud?
That Playboy mummy.
Playboy mummy. That's not what I asked you for. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I'll tell you guys what I asked Bud to do. What are you looking at a Playboy mummy for?
But that's what you wanted.
No, man, no. I'll tell you later. All right. Here's the story that we were going to get to last segment. I apologize. This is the story that this was kind of surprising, although I guess it shouldn't be. I saw Andy Levy of Red Eye tweeted today, and it was funny, but it was also true. He said, you know, Keith, at what point do you finally get the idea that there's something you're doing that isn't right? Keith Olbermann has been fired by Current TV now. Now, he, as you know, separated in January of 2011, I think it was, from his old bosses at MSNBC. Well, now Olbermann is gone. There's a new host at Current TV replacing him, and history seems to have repeated itself with his dismissal from Current TV after less than a year. Fraser Moore is writing in Business Week that the left-leaning cable network announced just hours before airtime on Friday, yesterday, that Countdown, the show Olbermann had anchored on Current since June, would be replaced with a new program hosted by former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer beginning last evening. Welcome to Current's new 8 p.m. Eastern Time show, Viewpoint, said Spitzer, who had a short-lived talk show in that same time slot on CNN, where he briefly went up against Olbermann. He didn't mention Olbermann on Friday's premiere of Viewpoint at all, which you can probably well imagine why. The sometimes volatile Olbermann came to Current last year as the centerpiece of its new primetime initiative after a stormy 8-year stint at MSNBC, his second at that network, followed by his abrupt departure in January of 2011. Shortly after Current announced his hiring, reportedly with a 5-year, $50 million contract as the start of an effort to transform the network's primetime slate into, quote, progressive talk, his official title was Chief News Officer, charged with providing editorial guidance for all the network's political news, commentary, and current events. Now, here is the statement from the founders of Current TV, and at least one of the names well known to you, Current TV founder Al Gore, the former vice president, and Joel Hyatt. They said that the network, quote, was founded on the values of respect, openness, collegiality, and loyalty to our viewers.
What's that mean, collegiality?
It means, you know, being amiable and respectful, you know, being professionally respectful. All right. Unfortunately, these values are no longer reflected in our relationship with Keith Olbermann, and we have ended it, meaning they don't have respect, there's no openness, there's no collegiality, and there's no loyalty to the viewers. They offered no details, but it's known that the temperamental Olbermann repeatedly clashed with his employers. During the primary season, he declined to host certain hours of election coverage and has missed a number of regular broadcasts. He's also complained about technical problems he said undermined his show.
Sounds like you.
Yeah, well, sound like me? Well, guess what? He's getting $50 million over 5 years, Mac.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's right. Let me tell you something, man. I could put up with a whole lot of technical problems and all kinds of this and all kinds of that for 50 mil.
Yeah, well.
That's a big difference, believe me. Anyway, Current considered some of those missed shows to be in serial material breach of his contract, terming them unauthorized absences, according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke to the Associated Press on a condition of anonymity because that person wasn't authorized to discuss details of Olbermann's dismissal, meaning they were open their mouth and they could get fired for the crap that they were saying. Gore and Hyatt said in their statement, we're confident that our viewers will be able to count on Governor Spitzer to deliver critical information on a daily basis. That's a slam at Olbermann for not being current and not being there every day. But it's very interesting how these guys keep making the same mistakes, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, Current TV's got a problem, and it's called identity. What are you? What are you? What do you want to be? They don't seem to learn from the mistakes of others. This is a problem. If I were, you know, advising the vice president, and I can tell you right now, he can't find, and I'm just saying, this is the state of broadcasting. The vice president couldn't find anyone better than me to advise him. In other words, there's a lot of people that would advise him. He ain't going to find anybody better than Phil Hendry. And the reason is because I know exactly what's wrong with that network. I know exactly what they have to do. And he's going to just keep writing. He's going to keep making the same mistakes all these other morons make. And he's going to lose his network, or he's going to wind up selling Current TV to somebody else.
What's he going to do?
Well, hold on. I'll tell you in a minute. But what we have here is this statement that they have Governor Spitzer in there, and they think that he's the answer. Well, no, he's not, and he wasn't the answer at CNN any more than Mike Huckabee's going to be the answer for Cumulus, any more than Fred Thompson was the answer for Westwood One, any more than hiring a non-professional to do a professional's job is going to be the answer. Now, the other problem that they have over Current TV is they call themselves progressive or they call themselves liberal. Look, at guys, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but if you are reacting to the success of Fox, which I understand and I don't find fault with that, that you want to sort of niche yourself away from the apparent conservatism of Fox, understand one thing. Fox doesn't call itself conservative. I know they are. I know they sound that way. I know they look that way. I know that they are this, that. But they don't come on and they don't do what all of the liberal networks do and stations do. Hi, we're progressive. We're liberal. No, man. Don't you understand?
Yeah, but what are they going to do if they're going to be different?
Well, first of all, man, Fox doesn't come on and go, hi, we're the conservative network. They may be conservative. I don't doubt that they are conservative. I'm not going to insult anybody's intelligence and say that they're not conservative. I treat Fox the way that I treat MSNBC. I know that I'm going to get a slanted view. I'm not complaining necessarily, but I'm not. If you think I'm going to Fox to get my news, I ain't going to Fox to get my news any more than I would go to WorldNet Daily. Any more than I would go to Breitbart. Any more than I would go to the Huffington Post or MSNBC.
Where do you go?
I have to collect it from sources that I have, thank you very much. A variety of different sources. Papers of record, etc. Now, so Current already blows it in two areas where they desperately need to make a smart move. They've made a dumb move, and then they follow it up with another dumb move. Number one, they identify themselves as progressive talk. I'm not saying you shouldn't be progressive talk. I'm not saying you shouldn't be liberal talk. Don't call yourself that. Why is it these guys do that? If there's one thing that Fox never, ever, 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 ever has done, they've never called themselves conservative. They've never said we're the conservative network. Now, there's a lot to be said for the way you brand yourself. If you brand yourself as a conservative network or a liberal network, you pretty much don't have a whole lot of places to go, man. You have to be that thing. However, if you say you're fair and balanced, if you come up with a slug that people will identify with your conservatism, now you're doing something smart. So they blow it there. Next move they made, they hired this chump change Elliot Spitzer. I'm sure that he's this, that, and a bag of chips. He's smart. Forget about all the stuff with the hookers. I get it. You know, he's a dirtbag, but that doesn't make him a bad broadcaster necessarily. Doesn't even make him a bad politician. Doesn't make him a bad governor. But Spitzer is not a good broadcaster. He's a bore. Now, CNN figured that out. What does Al Gore do? He's going to grab this guy off of the garbage pile and give him a job over there. Well, that's fine. You know, it's going to give him maybe some credibility to kind of recover from the Oberman experience, but it still doesn't get you where you want to go, which is getting viewers. So they've done two things that have been proven mistakes by other networks. They've hired a non-broadcaster for a daily show, and they have branded themselves progressive. This is a mistake. It would be a mistake if Fox called itself conservative. People don't want to go over to... People don't want to be told, you're conservative, this is your... They want to make up their own minds, and Fox lets people make... Now, you know and I know that they're conservative.
Yeah, they are conservative, man. What do you make up their own mind?
Look, if I'm a conservative, and Fox says, well, we're the conservative channel, I may resist that, because I may not see myself as that kind of conservatism. Or maybe I don't think Fox is conservative. I don't like them telling me what conservative is. I don't like them giving an official stamp to it. I know that maybe I'm a Gingrich conservative. Maybe I'm a Romney conservative. Maybe I'm a kind of a conservative that I don't like anybody telling me what a conservative is. That's the way people think. Why do you think female talk radio has flopped over and over again? When you say, we've got a woman's talk station, it bombs. Every time it bombs. Women don't want to be told this is their station.
Yeah, because it's kind of like they're going to a ghetto.
Exactly. You tell a woman, we're the woman's talk station, they're going to say to you, oh, is that right? Well, you can take your woman's talk station and shove it. I'm going to go listen to the talk station everybody else is listening to. What do you mean the woman's talk station? What's that supposed to mean? That's what those jackasses did in Chicago. I can't believe Randy Michaels and those guys got involved in that kind of idiocy. What the hell's wrong with you? I know what was wrong with you. Walt Sabo, that was what was wrong with you. Now we move on to another topic. Hiring of Spitzer. So they call themselves progressive. Then they hire this guy Spitzer, who is a politician. Last time I checked, when he was on CNN, he stunk it up. Nobody wanted to watch that stuff, and they didn't. Why is he hiring him?
I don't know. Maybe think of the guy's, he's got contacts and stuff.
So what if he's got contact? Look at Gore, sir, and you too, Mr. Hyatt. You know, it's like, sir, you too, Mr. Hyatt. Look, you guys got to start thinking smart here. You know, we're in the middle of an economic situation that's kind of volatile. You guys got to start thinking smart. You got to start developing real broadcasters, and you got to develop a brand that is going to last. When you call yourselves progressive or liberal, you've already got one foot in the crap. When you hire an Elliot Spitzer, you've just about put the other one in there. So you got rid of Oberman, and that's fine. You can fire anybody you want. I don't think Oberman is all that great shakes anyway. I think he was fine when he was on ESPN. I thought he fulfilled a purpose at MSNBC. I think when he started, when they had him anchoring sports and when they had him doing the convention, he showed that was a weak decision, and Oberman showed how weak he was doing that. He can't do a convention without injecting his political point of view. It's an unwatchable experience for people. And to watch him on sports.
Yeah, I do want to see him because it messed it up.
Well, I mean, it's one thing for me to have to look at that guy's mug when he's talking about politics, but now this guy is going to dirty up my sports experience? I'm sitting down to watch football. I don't want to look at his freaking face. What the hell is that about? NBC, I got to tell you, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. I mean, this is stuff a third grader could figure out. You guys are something else, man. Really? This is broadcasting 101, and you jackasses stick your feet in it. I don't get it. All right, well, that's fine. But now you got Gore and that guy doing the same thing. So there, I just gave you the answer. Now, do you think anybody's going to listen?
No.
No, they won't. They'll just keep right on pushing along, man, just like Sirius XM, just like those guys. You know, I had a nice talk with Greg Fitzsimmons and Mike Gibbons about Sirius. You know, Sirius is being sued. They're being sued by their number one talent, Howard Stern. They're being sued by their subscribers. And they just keep pushing right along with the same dumbass stuff that they do. They just keep coming up with the same horse dung, like the whole thing is fantasy land, man. Like they're living in a little fantasy world, and the rest of it is just doesn't exist. All right.
Yeah, that just you could kiss off being hired by Sirius.
Well, they're not going to hire me, man. I already told you why they're not going to hire me. And besides, I've got a job. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show will continue our final segment here. So did I give you all you needed to know about Oberman?
Not really.
All right, well, I'll give you some more about Oberman and anything else, and we got some other news here. The winning lottery numbers are in for the Mega Millions. We'll give you those, too. It was sold in Maryland. And, well, you know, we'll give you all of the dirt and the lowdown on that when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I guess there's a million things you could say about Oberfuhrer, but the bottom line is, like I was telling you guys, whoever, you know, when he hit the bricks, when NBC told him to leave and don't darken our sheets again, whoever it was that made the decision to put that guy on football and whoever it was that made the decision to stick that guy on the convention coverage, that jackass should have hit the bricks right behind him.
Why? I mean, he was pretty good on convention.
He wasn't. Are you kidding me? Look, as conservative as Fox is, if you watch Fox covering the Democratic convention, now they got liberal commentators, and they got very conservative commentators, God knows. But when Fox is just doing the convention coverage, man, they don't have some smartass sitting there going, well, you know, it wasn't a bad speech for a bunch of liberals. Well, that's basically what Oberman was doing at the Republican convention. So they were sort of taking the Fox, you know, the Fox model of politically influenced news reporting, I guess, or politically biased news reporting, and taking it far away from where it should have been. I mean, just stupid, man. All right. If those are the numbers on your Mega Million lottery ticket, you've won. And here they are. You ready? 2, 4, 23, 38, 46, Mega Ball, 23rd, Hike.
23rd?
I mean 23, I'm sorry. 2, 4, 23, 38, 46, Mega Ball, 23.
What Mega Ball?
Mega Ball, I don't know what it is. What is it, bud?
The Mega Ball's like, that's going to be like a tiebreaker or something. They'll go, okay, here's the numbers, 2, 4, 23, whatever, and then they go, okay, now the Mega Ball. Then I come a Mega Ball.
Yeah, so what?
That's just the Mega Ball.
What do you mean a tiebreaker? How does that mean a tiebreaker? I don't understand that.
If there's a tie.
What do you mean if there's a tie?
If two people got the same number.
Okay. If two people have the same number, then what?
Then the Mega Ball breaks the tie.
They both got the Mega Ball number.
Don't you see, man? They both have the number 23.
No, not the Mega Ball.
Yeah, they do. How many Mega Ball numbers did they announce?
So far, just one.
Well, if there's a tie, man, then they both have the Mega Ball number of 23.
That's what the tiebreaker is.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you, man?
Yeah, listen to me, man.
I'm listening.
You know, you're not listening, because if you were listening to me, you'd understand what I'm saying. The number is 2, 4, 23, 38, and 46. Am I right?
Yeah, and a Mega Ball, 23.
Right, the Mega Ball's 23.
Yeah, that's the tiebreaker.
That's the tiebreaker. So let's say you and I both have the same numbers, 2, 4, 23, 38, 46, and the Mega Ball is 23.
Right.
Okay, you and I both have that number. What breaks the tie?
The 23.
But I have 23. And you have 23.
Yeah, that's the Mega Ball.
You must be some kind of a freaking idiot.
Uh-huh.
Get out of here.
He's messing around with you, man.
You couldn't figure out he was messing with you?
Well, did you know he was messing with me?
I finally figured it out.
Well, then how about giving me a high sign? That's real funny.
Well, what do you think, man?
As sources of wannabe multimillionaires, scores of wannabe multimillionaires held their collective breath, lottery officials in Atlanta drew the numbers at 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. That would have been about 8 o'clock on Friday night. It might take a while to exhale a confirmation where the winning ticket or tickets were purchased. It finally did come, actually. Maryland. Maryland is where the winning ticket was purchased. And I think we heard a caller verify that earlier when he said, what?
He said down in D.C.
Yeah. Let me just do a very quick... he said down in D.C. These guys said Maryland. Let me just do a very quick look here. Winning Mega Millions tickets sold in Maryland. Now, I wonder if they tell you which city. An official with the Maryland Lottery says a record $640 million winning lottery ticket has been sold in Maryland, and there could be others nationwide. Carol Everett, director of communications for the Maryland Lottery, says the winning Mega Millions ticket was purchased at a retailer in Baltimore County. She said it's too early to know any other information about the lucky ticket holder or whether others were sold elsewhere in the nation. What does that mean?
Bet the tie.
Oh, will you get out of here with the tie? So obviously, if there's a tie, you're splitting the money. Everett says the last time a ticket from the state won a major national jackpot was 2008, when a ticket was sold for $24 million. Across the United States, Americans plunked down an estimated $1.5 billion on the longest of long shots, an infinitesimally small chance to win what could end up being the single biggest lottery payout the world has ever seen. The numbers drawn on, well, that's almost a billion dime. It's half of a billion. It's 2/3 of a billion, man. That's, you're an instantaneous multi-millionaire. The numbers drawn Friday night at Atlanta were 2, 4, 23, 38, 46, Mega Ball, 23. Lottery officials expect to release details about possible winners a couple of hours after the 11 p.m. Eastern drawing.
What if it's like you?
It can't be me. I didn't buy a ticket.
So?
I didn't buy a ticket.
Can't you win even if you're not been to buy a ticket?
Can't you win if you didn't buy a ticket? Boy, you guys get smarter as the night goes on, huh?
Well, why can't you?
How am I going to win if I didn't buy a ticket?
I don't know, man, but they ought to make it so everybody has a chance.
Everybody has a chance, huh? You know, you guys, I'm telling you, life just doesn't work that way. And no matter how much you try to squeeze some kind of jackass egalitarianism out of life, it isn't going to happen. You are not going to get people winning a lottery who don't buy a lottery ticket. Ain't going to happen.
You wouldn't vote for that.
No, I wouldn't vote for that. Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry needs. Make sure that you are at philhendryshow.com. We have our podcast tomorrow morning. It's the weekend. We'll see you guys on Monday night.
Yeah.
Bye.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah.